Water baptism, I just want to mention that again. It's representing new life. You're being buried the old life and coming up new. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means you've identified that what's happening on the inside is on the outside. And so if you want to be water baptized, there's cards in the lobby, as Brother Paul said. And so fill it out, let me know, and I'll be in contact with you about that. So that's on 2 weeks from today. So we're excited about that. And then the men's breakfast. Men, you like to eat, we encourage you to come out and join us at 7:30 to 9. And we'd love to have you come and fellowship, some good food. And we're finishing up a series, Love Does. And so I encourage you to come out. The sign-up sheet's in the lobby. Also, we're having great, great times in our small groups. On Wednesday nights, on Thursday mornings, the men and the women on Wednesday nights. So I encourage you, if you're not plugged into a group, we would love to have you. Life on life, we're growing, we're praying together, and living for the Lord. So I encourage you with that. And then also the Spring Project Day, I just want to echo what Paul was saying. Anyone can come, not just the men, but if you can come and you know, we've got projects, small, medium, small, large, whatever, and whoever comes, we'll get those done. So I encourage you to sign up as well downstairs. Well, the irate customer calling the newspaper office loudly demanded to know where her Sunday edition was. "Ma'am," said the employee, "today is Saturday. The Sunday paper is not delivered until Sunday." There was a long pause on the other end of the phone, followed by a ray of recognition. "Oh, I bet that's why no one was in church today, too." So we're finishing up a message series today titled Extreme Makeover. God loves to do extreme makeovers in our lives. It's not that he's unsatisfied with us, but that he loves us enough to not leave us as we are. Part one, we talked about anyone includes me. If anyone belongs to Christ, then we see the world differently. If anyone, the word anyone belongs to Christ, right? No matter how sinful, if they repent and believe in Jesus, they belong to Jesus. And if anyone belongs to Christ, it means that they're being transplanted into a new soil and a new climate. And both soil and climate are Christ. Belonging to Christ requires an attitude of humility. It's allowing God, the great renovator of hearts, the great rebuilder of lives, the great architect of souls, to have access to do an extreme makeover in our lives, if we're humble. Part two, God's promises are for me. If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation, a new person. We've kept and we've broken promises to others, and others have kept and broken promises to us, but God never and will never break his promises. God's promises to us is the Holy Spirit, guidance, growth, a relationship with him, the power to live, and so much more. If we belong to Christ, we are a new creation. Being a new creation requires an attitude of thankfulness. Thankfulness. It's not who I want to be, but thank God I'm not who I used to be. I'm not done yet. God's not done in my life. I'm still on this journey. Amen? Do you remember when you were kids? Some of you, that might take a while to think back. I don't know why I'm looking at you, Duane, but remember as kids, right, when something didn't go right or something didn't go our way, you know, we'd ask for a do-over. Anybody know what I'm talking about? A do-over. As a teenager, I had a few friends, obviously in youth group, and we had one friend, we'll call him Pete. And there were three of us that kind of hung around, Scott, myself, and Pete. And we would hang out at each other's houses playing the original Nintendo, the classic Nintendo video game system that just dated me. We'd watch movies, play sports, you know, hang out, sleepovers, all that kind of stuff. We really did have fun together. But Pete was often the butt of my jokes. You know, I looked down on him and thought of him less than me. And in trying to be the phony one in the group, you know, I know that I hurt him with my words. I know that I hurt him with my actions. I believe all of us have something in our past we want to forget or redo or to get a do-over. There are things in our past that we look back and we cringe because of our actions, because of our words, because of our attitudes or thoughts. We look back in our story and we're embarrassed by our own behaviors and actions. Something we did with friends, words that we said to our parents, choices that we made at school, or decisions we made in the workplace, or regrets that caused us pain and it caused extreme pain to others. But the past isn't just when we were kids or when we were younger. The past is what happened last week, last month, last year. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes those memories are like soundtracks that play in our hearts and our minds and playing over and over and over again. And we wish we could go back and do a do-over. That we could somehow erase that moment in time. You know what I'm talking about, right? We could go back and undo what we said or go back and undo what we did. The title of my message this morning in closing out this series is The Old Me is Gone. The Old Me is Gone. HGTV shows like Fixer Upper and Fixer to Fabulous and Hometown, some of the ones that I watch, they deal with renovating and rebuilding and tearing down and making something new and or improved, and it's all done in an hour-long episode, right? And that's kind of what God does in our lives, but it's an ongoing process that will last our whole lives. I think I asked this a couple of weeks ago, has anyone arrived? Has God finished with you yet? I don't see any hands, but yeah. We hand God the hammer. We hand God the saw, the measuring tape, the screwdriver, the tools, not to reform us, not to rehabilitate us, not to re-educate us, or to improve us, but to recreate us. To recreate us. We are completely new creations. God recreates us. When we're attached to Christ, He makes things new in us. Our text for this series is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone. Everything is made new. This morning, I want to focus on the second half of that verse. If we belong to Christ, if we are Christians, we are a new creation. The old things have gone away. All the things we had done leading up to becoming followers of Jesus, gone away. The past is forgotten. The old things have passed away. The old way of living has disappeared. The old is gone. The old things are gone. The old way of life has gone. The old thoughts, the old way of living, the old practices, the old habits, the old way of trying to be good enough are all passed away, gone. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Then, since we became followers of Jesus, God's word says everything is made new. The new has come. New things have come. All things have become new. The new is here. New life has begun. Everything is new. All things are made new. In the Greek, it means new in kind, unprecedented, uncommon, a new form or quality, a different nature. Right? That's what we are. That's what the Word of God says we are. We have a new heart, a new spirit, a new light, a new life, new affections, new desires, new joys, new eyes to see with, new ears to hear with, new feet to walk with, and new hands to work with. Let me see a show of hands of that the old me or the old you shows up in our lives from time to time. Gasp. Look at all you sinners. Right? I was going to say the old me rears its ugly head, but that's just, can you say that in church? I don't think that's very nice. It rears its ugly head. Okay. But if we admit it this morning, we don't always feel new. We don't always feel like we're recreated in Christ. We don't always respond to our spouse or our family in a Christ-like way. The old patterns, sometimes the old thoughts, the old way of doing things, they creep back into our lives and we mess up and we sin. And I believe there are a couple of reasons why we don't feel new. We don't feel recreated at times. We listen to, we look at that verse, if anyone belongs to Christ, there's a new creation. The old things have gone, everything is made new. We're like, sometimes I believe that. Sometimes, yeah, but other times, yikes, right? My life's a mess. I don't feel recreated. I don't feel like God's doing anything. Well, I thought of a couple of things. Some reasons, right? I feel condemned because of my past. I feel condemned because of my past. You know, our past, they echo so loudly in our minds and in our hearts that we feel totally unworthy of God's love and of God's grace. And we feel condemned. We often live with the lies and the deception of Satan, who is our enemy, who tries to convince us that we're not new, that we're not recreated. And when the past, I'll say it, rears its ugly head, right? We feel totally condemned. And that condemnation is from the enemy. It's never, never from Christ. It's never from God. And we feel condemned because our past says that we don't feel new. Another reason we don't feel new or recreated at times is I don't want to let go of the old me. I don't want to let go of the old me, right? We like to nurse our resentment and holding on to the offense. We are reluctant to let go of something that we've held on to for so long. It's like a security blanket to make us feel safe and secure. It could be that before we met Christ, we were full of fear. We were full of doubt. Maybe now, since we do follow Jesus, it's still difficult to let go of some old fear. And so we cling to it, right? And if we're honest, we just don't want to let go of the old, the familiar, the comfortable. And yet, another reason we don't feel new, we don't feel recreated, is I can't let go of the old me. I can't let go of the old me. An addiction has its grip on us, even though we've tried to overcome it, but it's still got its claws in us. Or some past regret, some past sin has us full of shame and full of guilt, and so we can't forgive ourselves and let it go. We punish ourselves over and over for something from our past, and we have the emotional sometimes, or the mental, the spiritual, even the physical scars from the past to prove that point. But good news, the Word of God has some things to say about letting go. When we feel condemned, Jesus himself says to you and me today in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God did not send his Son, Jesus, into the world to what? Condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, that verse is right after John 3:16, and everyone on the planet knows that verse. But this one is just as important. We're not condemned. God loves you and wants to save you from your sin. That's true love. If God can and does forgive you, you are not condemned. Do what God does. And forgive. And forgive yourself. Let it go. God doesn't condemn you or your sins. He forgives. He loves. If you ask him to, he promises he will. See, once we belong to Christ and we're new creations and the old things are gone, all things are new, does that mean we'll be perfect and never sin? But it does mean the direction of our life, our actions, our behaviors, our words, or in one commentator's words, we're bent upward, Godward, heavenward, toward eternity, the holy to God. The old things have gone away, is that we are free from the penalty of sin and no longer controlled to obey sin, right? We do live in these bodies, and we do and we will sin this side of heaven. But the biggest difference is now is we have a new power in Jesus Christ to resist that pull of sin. You could say it this way: before Christ, we chased sin. But after Christ, right, sin chases us. And as followers of Jesus, right, we certainly haven't arrived yet. We're still a work in progress, an extreme makeover in the works. And we can say, like the Apostle Paul here in Philippians chapter 3, I don't mean to say I am perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers, I'm still not all I should be, but I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. You see, Paul is not only forgetting the past, but he's also looking forward to what lies ahead. We want to reach the end of the race, our lives, having lived for Jesus and his kingdom, but we often struggle with the obstacles of our past. Pastor, author Irwin McManus tells us this: many of us keep longing for a new future while holding on to the past. We desperately want God to create something new for us, but we refuse to let him tear away all the old from us. We need to let go of the old so we can receive something new. If you're holding on to something from your past that's in your hand, metaphorically speaking, you can't receive anything new from God until you let it go. You want to sing it together? Let it go? Let it go. No. It's 1990, and I was in college, and I needed a car, so I bought a 1985 Ford Mustang. Yeah. It was awesome, right? I love that car. The only bad part about that Ford Mustang, it was a four-cylinder. Some of you are like, what? What does that mean? It was slow. But I loved that car. I put in a new stereo. I bought some speakers. I got it looking really good. And it was maroon and black. And we even had the car when we got married. And we had the car when our little girl, Danielle, was born. And do they make four-door Mustangs today? I don't know if they do, but as our family grew, that Mustang was not very practical. I had to let go of that Mustang and get something more reasonable to meet our family needs. Paul, since you're standing, I need a volunteer. Come on down. You're the next contestant. Wrong timing, Paul. I could see you sneaking in. So I have here, it's a letter P. I don't know why I picked P, but it's the letter P. I want you to put that in your hand. P for Paul, thank you. There you go, okay. Now, I want you to hold that P pretty tightly in your grip, okay? It's pretty good. Sorry, did I bruise you just now? Sorry. I have a dollar. You take a dollar? Doesn't go very far today. So this P you're holding on tightly represents the past, and this represents a gift. All right, so in order for you to receive this gift, what do you got to do?
Give up the past.
So why don't you give up the past and receive a gift? Give it up for Paul. There you go, Paul. I want that dollar back after service. Yes, you do get the pass back. You see my point. If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone. Everything is made new. Here's the question of the morning, right? How? How do you really let go of the old? How do you let go of the past? Well, just as anyone includes me requires an attitude of humility, and God's promises are for me requires an attitude of thankfulness. See, both of those require an attitude. An attitude is everything. But to let go of the old, to get that, to that place where the old me is gone, it requires an action of trust. An action of trust. See, there's that T word again, right? Trust in who? Trust in what? This time, it's an action of commitment, of committed trust to God and His Word. Let me ask you a question. Do you trust God to forgive your past? Do you trust God to forgive all the mistakes and messes that you've made in and with your life? Do you really trust God enough to let go of the old? To trust Him enough to guide your life, to tell you the truth? To believe that the old me is gone because you belong now to Jesus. He sees you through the lens of His Son and the blood of Jesus that covers us. See, it's not God who brings up your past. It's not Jesus tapping you on the shoulder and reminding you of all your sins and mistakes and failures. It's not. It's not. It's either the enemy, who's real, or yourself. And to combat both of those, it takes the truth of God's Word. You speak the Word of God to the enemy. You remind yourself what God's Word says, who you are. For the old me to go, it requires an action of trust. We don't always feel new. We don't always feel recreated. That's when you stand upon God and His Word. It's putting your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior. And because of the price that Jesus paid on the cross, your past is not held against you. Because of God's grace, you are forgiven. God's Word is clear about when you confess your sin. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He will forgive our sins because we can trust God to do what is right. He will cleanse us from all the wrongs we have done. That is good news. And this requires an action of trust. You see, God's not a liar or someone who will pull the rug out from under you. God is full of compassion and love for you. When God's Word says the old things have gone, everything is made new, you can believe it 100%. I love this verse in Micah chapter 7, verse 19. Once again, you will have compassion on us, God. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. God takes our sins and our sorrows and our griefs and He throws them to the depths of the ocean. That's why the action of water, being water baptized, is so important. The old is underneath, is buried, and the new has come up to new life. And if you're following the Lord, you see, we can't go back and change our past. As much as we would like to, it's just a part of our story. And at times, you know, we live looking at the rearview mirror of our past instead of the windshield of our future. And if, you know, if you're driving a car and you're just looking at the rearview mirror, it's not good, unless you're going backwards, but you want to move forward. There's a future there. When you become a true Christ follower, you are brand new, a brand new person on the inside. You Again, you may not feel brand new, but as far as God is concerned, all the sin, the crud, the junk, the dross of your life is completely clean. The Holy Spirit gives you new life, and you're not the same anymore. Stop and think about that statement for a second. You're not the same anymore. There was a pivot. There was something different now. And that can be difficult to grasp at times. Extreme makeovers. You may not realize it, but God is still working in the lives of people here at Peace Chapel in doing extreme makeovers. Recreating us daily. If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone. Everything is made new. Because we belong to Christ, right? We've made the decision to repent and confess Jesus as Lord. We are a new creation. And not only that, the old us is gone. Everything is new. You see, the old me is gone. The old me is gone. I'm not the same anymore. Well, Pastor Spence, I don't always feel like God is moving in me. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. What? You never stop working. Regardless of how you feel, God is working behind the scenes. Pastor, author Louis Giglio says this, if we truly want to change, then we need to understand our dependency on the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Our change is more about trusting and less about trying. Wow. That's difficult for us to do because we just want to say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to try harder. And he's saying, it's all Jesus. He does it. Trusting in him. As Pete and I got older, we went to different schools. I went to a different youth group. Life happened. Lost touch with him. And as I look back on those years, I cringe from the way that I treated Pete. I made fun of him, I teased him, and I put him down because he was different than me. I didn't see his uniqueness. And honestly, I have deep, deep regret in how I treated Pete all those years later. I sure wish I could have a do-over and treat him better than I did. I tried to reach out to him on Facebook a number of years ago, but I wasn't sure it was him, and there was no reply. I love what author Bob Goff says this, God can't change who we're becoming until we let go of who we were. God can't change who we're becoming until we let go of who we were. You see, I had to repent of my sins toward Pete. I had to put my faith into action and trust God, the old me is gone. I had to let go of who I was so God could change who I'm becoming. So I want you to think about these questions. Is there something you feel condemned about from your past? Is there something you're holding on to from your past that's just, it's robbing you of your future? Is there something that's got its claws in you and just won't let go? Is there a promise from God that you need to memorize and stand on in your situation? If the old me is gone, how will that affect our marriage or our kids, or our family, our relationships, our jobs, our finances, our retirements? Is there someone in your life that you need to let go of what they did to you? To forgive them? Do you need to trust God? You see, again, I've said this a few weeks now, following God is a personal decision, but it's lived out among others, together, life on life, caring and praying for each other as we encourage one another closer to Jesus. So as a church body, what would our marriages and families look like if we truly believe that the old them is gone and we don't hold it against them anymore? How should we treat them? As a church, if we lived out this truth, the old things have gone, what kind of impact would we have in our own families, in our friendships, in our neighborhoods, in our church? As a church, do we need to trust God even more? The old things have gone. Everything is made new. It requires an action of trust. Let's pray.